Set your spirit on fire and let Dr. Lawana Steins guide you to a life of purpose and fulfillment. To reach Dr. Lawana Steins, call 760-315-1967. That's 760-315-1967. Or visit atouchfromabove.org. And now, here's your A Touch From Above host, Dr. Lawana Steins.
Thank you so much for joining me. You're going to hear a sermon from Sunday service from the Prayer Mountain. So stay tuned. Father, we want to thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you so much for everyone that went yesterday and those that stayed and prayed for us, Lord God. I want to thank you, Lord God, for the hearts that you are opening even right now in the name of Jesus. I know, Father, that when they went home last night, the Word of God never comes back void. And I know, Lord, the conviction of the Holy Spirit was there. I pray, Lord God, that you would transform lives, bring souls into your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for our awesome team. Thank you, Lord, for everyone here. Thank you for everything that you're doing. Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, because without you, we can do nothing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, anoint your servant today. Anoint your word. Bring it forth in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, each and every one of you have said a little bit of my sermon today. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are so few. Amen? You know, one thing that is so important that I believe with all my heart is that if you, as a Christian, do not stamp eternity on your heart, you will never win one soul. You have to stamp eternity on your heart. You have to look at somebody and you have to say, are they going to heaven or are they on the road to hell? And you have to have the heartbeat of Jesus. When Jesus looked out into that harvest field, the Bible says he wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you as a hen that gathers his chicks. I don't know, I've had chickens. I loved my chickens. I named every single one of them, 17 of them I had. But Miss Betsy was the best chicken of all. And Miss Betsy, she was want to brood. She wanted to sit on her eggs. And one day I was trying to take some eggs out from underneath her and she kept having all these eggs. And before I knew it, she's sitting on 12 eggs. And you know what? The other little chicken would come, but oh, I'm telling you, Miss Beth. And the other chickens would just kind of stay away from her. The other hens, they knew she meant business. Like, these are my eggs. I'm sitting on them, and you get out of here. Well, lo and behold, she ended up hatching all those little chicks. And, you know, we were what? They make all kinds of little beep, 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 little noise there. And you knew, oh, my gosh, the eggs have hatched. But one day, a squirrel worked his way into that chicken coop. And I'm telling you what, that squirrel, I don't know if you know this, but they will go after a little teeny baby chick and they will kill it. Well, all of a sudden I looked and Miss Betsy, and she was gathering her chickens and all of a sudden she went after that squirrel. She went after that squirrel. I mean, every part of her, she didn't care. She went into it. She was pecking that thing. You know why? Because it had one of her babies. So when I read that scripture that Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you as a hen that gathers his chicks. You see, God has so much love for this entire world that we're created, number one. We have to understand, we're created to give him glory. We're created for his goodness. We're created for his greatness. But you see, the devil always tries to interrupt our lives. And he comes in and he brings all kinds of vices, especially today. He brings vices of the internet, the computer, come on, help me, pornography, alcohol, drugs, girlfriends, boyfriends, come on, help me, selfishness, what? Sports. All kinds of things get in the way. But you know what? I'm busy. I've got to do this. Satan is a robber.
He's a thief. John 10:10 says the thief comes only but what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said what? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever would not just believe. The devil believes. He that committeth his life unto him, Jesus, he that picks up his cross and follows him will in no way perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus had a plan, and that plan was the plan of the Father. To what plan was that? To save and to seek that which is lost. You and I were lost. You and I had no purpose nor vision. We didn't understand. We were in that dark world. We were like puppets on a string, doing whatever the devil wanted us to do. But we didn't know it. We were blind. We were lost. We were like sheep without a shepherd. Isaiah, the prophet, said that Israel, he said, you're like a sheep without a shepherd. Each one has gone and done his own way. You see, the dictates of our own fleshly heart will try to rule you. Your heart, if it's not connected to the master, then your heart will be connected to something else. And that's what you have to be careful, because your heart has to be connected to the master. And when you do, there is such satisfaction. I can't even make you understand, because after a while, you'll stop searching for those things that just leave you empty anyhow, because our world is searching. When we saw, I mean, we're talking thousands. We're not talking hundreds. We're talking thousands. We shared the gospel with thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. We had, what, 4 hours? 4 hours were we out there? I mean, they started early. Thank God for the team. Charlie and Frankie and Sherry went at 6:30 to set up the perimeter that we were going. Bill and Tom went, and Marshall went at 7:30. They loaded up the second gear to go and set the other stuff. And then Pastor Jill and I, we got to the gate. We're taking the equipment. How many of you know the devil hates when you go to do anything for God? So we get to the gate. I'm at the gate. We have all the equipment and my Jesus truck, the light. Comes up, engine problem. I said, devil, you are defeated by the blood of the Lamb. I called up Toyota at 8 o'clock. I said, Mike, mayday, mayday, emergency. I need a car. I said, I got an appointment down the hill. I have to be there. My Jesus truck said, engine problem. I'm going to bring my truck in. Mike, can you hear me? I know this is the answering. Mike, emergency, mayday, mayday, mayday. I need a car ASAP. So I said, let's go. We drove into Poway, stopped at the Toyota. I went inside. Mike goes, just breathe. I said, just tell me to breathe. I'll be okay. He goes, just breathe. I said, okay. He goes, listen, I don't have a car. He goes, but I have one that just came in. It's really dirty. I said, I don't care. I need a car. It didn't matter to me. He goes, calm down. We got it. I said, okay. I said, our team is already there. I said, he goes, where are you going? I said, we're going to the gay parade to preach Jesus. He goes, oh, dear Lord. Okay. He's a Jewish man. His daughter speaks perfect Hebrew. He goes, oh, dear Lord. Okay, I'll get you a car. I said, okay. He goes, sign here, get out of here, go. I said, thank you, Mike. God bless you. Here's my truck key. My Jesus truck needs help. Here, I'll see you later. He goes, don't worry. I'll see you whenever. I said, okay. You see, the devil hates the word. And if he can stop you in any way, shape, or form, that's exactly what he'll do. You know, you have to understand something. It's a miracle. We're there at the Toyota. We're unloading the speaker, unloading the thing, unloading the tripod, unloading all of our tracks, unloading everything. And everybody there at Toyota are looking at us. And Mike's going, okay, see you later. All right. Goodbye. He goes, be careful. I said, all is well. Well, if you don't have a heartbeat for souls, then you have to pray. Because as a Christian, you have to be able to see with the eyes of Christ. You have to see that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are so few. You have to be able to see with Jesus' eyes and say, Lord, lead me to somebody today that needs you. Jesus, lead me. And then you have to be able to see those that are sent by Satan. You know, when the girl came to wave the flags and tried to stop us, the reason she tried to stop us, it wasn't her. She was full of the devil. She was screaming, waving her flag for what, 30 minutes? Do you remember in the book of Acts? Do you remember when Paul was preaching? Do you remember the woman that followed them? How many days? 3 to 4 days. These are men of the Most High God. These are men of the Most High God. These, you would think that that was a good word. But what she was doing, the Bible says that it annoyed Paul. And Paul knew that she had a devil. And he said, come out of her in the name of Jesus. And you know what? That demon came out of her. You see, you have to understand that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. This is why God says in His Word, put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. And then He tells us about the armor. Armor. You can't go to battle without the armor. You can't go to battle. Our often awesome Marines, you would never send them into battle without their gear. They got to have their gear. They got to, when they go into battle, they got a great big either duffel bag or knapsack. Sack, right? And that thing is filled. They're prepared. I don't know about you, but years ago, one of the generals used to call me in at Fort Carson, Colorado. And I used to go into the hangar before they went into Desert Storm. He would call me up, said, Pastor Luana, we need you to pray with our troops. He was a Christian, so I'd come in, and we would be there at 3 o'clock in the morning, and these guys, just before they were going to Desert Storm, they would have their great big old duffel bags, and these precious army men, young men, all lined up. I think there was over 3,000 of them there. And I remember them sitting with their duffel bags. They had their Desert Storm gear. It was a new military. It was no longer the greens for the Army, but it was Desert Storm colors. And as I looked out, you know what you saw? You saw the canteen. You saw their gear. You saw their rifle. You saw everything. They had an emergency food. They had an emergency pack for in case somebody got wounded. They had all kinds of gear. They had their army boots on. You know, why did they have that gear on? Why did they have a helmet? You know, a lot of people don't understand that Paul told young Timothy, gird yourself up as a young soldier. Because we're in the military in Jesus. We're in the army of the living God. You can't see with your natural eye out there the forces, but you have to be able to understand that why did Paul, the Apostle Paul, tell young Timothy, gird yourself up, Timothy, as a young soldier? Why? Because he was getting ready to go into battle. God was sending Timothy by the Apostle Paul back into Ephesus. Ephesus was filled with corruption. Ephesus had the goddess of Diana, the sex god. They had Gnosticism. They had all kinds of corrupt things trying to sneak into the body of Christ. And Paul said these words, I have no one to send who is like-minded except for Timothy. You're telling me in that vast crowd of believers that there was only one that was like-minded? Why? You see, when we understand the spiritual battle, you see, the devil has one agenda, and his agenda is to kill. Kill God's word in your heart. Jesus can heal you. Cancer has no place in your lungs in Jesus' name. You see, the devil, what he wants to do is he wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to try to destroy this precious couple right here. Why? Because of the battle they've gone into. Do you not think it's hard for Vicky? I hope you don't mind me mentioning. You don't think it's hard for Vicky, her strong husband who built this, Danny right there in that beautiful, in that wheelchair, but next to his beautiful wife? You don't think the devil saw him building out the prayer mountain? You don't think that all of a sudden God sees and the devil says, oh no, we got to take that boy out. Why? Because he wants to try to destroy him. But not only him, he wants to destroy Vicky, because all of a sudden the whole entire life changes. All of a sudden there's Danny. He worked all the time, take care of Vicky, take care of the house. And now Vicky has to rise up. Now Vicky has to take care of him until he's better and completely healed in Jesus' name. And now she's got to take on the strength that Danny needs. What greater is the God who dwells within us than he that's in the world? And when those trials come, only God can carry us through. You can't do that by yourself. It's impossible. When the enemy comes in like a flood, what did God say? He said he would lift up a standard against him. This is why Paul the apostle told you and I in Ephesians that the battle that we're in is not flesh and blood. Your battle is against a demon of cancer. I know, because I had that demon of cancer. Some of you have fought another demon. Danny's fighting through the demon of infirmity and sickness. Vicky's fighting through probably through the spirit of fear. What are we going to do? How are we going to make it? God is able to do all things exceedingly, abundantly, above all things that we can even begin to think or ask. God's word is final. God's word said it. That settles it. No matter what we go through, no matter what comes against us, our God is able. Even though you can't see it in your natural, you can't see it. Get on the helmet of salvation. Why? That you may fight against the wiles. What are the wiles? Those are the battles. That you may quench what? What are those? Arrows coming against your mind. You're going to die. God is not able. Nothing's going to happen. He won't be healed. You're going to lose your house. We don't have enough finances. Oh, look at everything's falling apart. Nothing ever changes. We're worthless. We're no good. I will never change. Those are fiery darts. Those are fiery darts. Those are lies of the enemy. You see, those lies, that's why God gave us his word. What did he tell you and I? Take every thought, what? Captive. What does it mean to take captive? Take that and pull it down. You see, you have to take and pull down that negative thought, and then you got to bounce on the Word of God. Then you got to stand on the Word of God. Why? Because God moves by faith. God moves by his word. His word is powerful. What does it say in Hebrews? Tom was preaching it yesterday. The word of God, oh my goodness, he was shaking it up. The word of God is a what? Double. It's a double-edged sword. And I'm telling you what, that word, when you begin to stand on the word, I'm telling you what, Daniel's a great teacher. He was teaching them yesterday. I thought, he's got the gift of a teacher. He was teaching them. He was standing there. He had his scriptures all lined up. He was teaching them and preaching, but his style was the style of a teacher. I thought, there is Daniel's teaching. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you what, when you get that word down inside of you, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those that come to God must believe that he is, somebody say he is, somebody say he is. God is not a liar. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You see, it's the diligent part of you that you has to fight. It's the diligent part of you that says no. Paul said something powerful. He said, I buffet my body. You know what? The word buffet meant shadow boxing. Do you know what he was saying? I am fighting. I am fighting to do right. I am fighting against the lies of the enemy. You have to fight, guys. I'm sorry. We live in a fallen world. And you have to learn how to put on your spiritual boxing gloves. Somebody say amen. Because if you don't, then you will falter. You see, to reach the lost is God's heartbeat. You know what I love? I love John the Baptist. I love the John the Baptist. Have you ever thought about John the Baptist? He comes out of the desert. He was born 6 months from Jesus. 6 months before. John the Baptist was in Elizabeth's womb 6 months. And then Mary comes to visit Elizabeth. And the baby in Elizabeth's womb, the Bible says, leapt and got filled with the Holy Spirit. So John the Baptist, he's the only one I know, that got filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. So Elizabeth said, the baby leapt. Oh, who am I that I would receive? And she is shocked because she's got a revelation that Mary is going to have the Messiah. But Elizabeth had no idea that she was going to birth his forerunner. Do you understand what a forerunner of the king is? Do you know what a forerunner of the king was in the days of old? In the days of old, you would have the forerunner for the king. So the forerunner would go into the city, and he would give an announcement for the king. The king is having a ball or whatever. You know, he would give an announcement. But John was the forerunner for Jesus. John was not a wimpy. Somebody say amen. Well, what was John like? Well, let me describe him. Then we'll talk about what he did. I love John the Baptist. Let me stop there for a moment. Okay. I think this has been the problem of Christianity in our generation. The first time somebody witnessed to me, they told me I was going to hell. Did you know that? I said, excuse me? And then they go, you worship the devil. Do you know how mad I was? I said, I'm not a devil worshiper. You don't see me in that gothic garbage. I'm not a devil worshiper. They said, no, you serve the God of this world. You are going to hell. I was so mad at them for telling me that. But guess what? It made me think, am I going to hell? Am I going to hell? Let me tell you what we have done today. We've ran around, and I was so proud of our team. Yes, Jesus loves us, but I love when our team said this, you cannot stay the same. Jesus loves you, but hates your sin. Your sin separates you from your God. You must repent of your sins. You see, we see so many people out there, and all they say is, God bless you, Jesus loves you. Hello, sinner, Jesus loves you. So 95% of America thinks they're all Christians because Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus, do you know how many of the homosexual and lesbian said, Jesus loves me just the way I am? And then they would flip us off. Jesus loves me just the way I am. No, he doesn't. He loves you, but he hates your sin. But what is it in America that we have skirted around the truth? What is it that we have been afraid to preach? Somebody say, preach the truth. Somebody say, preach the truth. Well, let me go in. There was a name of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. I like Jesus set the first example. There was a man of the Pharisees. Number one, you have to understand he was a very religious person. Nicodemus, say, oh, Nicodemus, how religious thou art. Named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. Why do you think he came to Jesus by night? Because he was ashamed to say he was in need. And he came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, teacher, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Why is it hard for people to say, you have to be born again? Because everybody doesn't read this. You've got to read your Bible. You can tell if somebody's really born again. The minute you say, are you born again? They'll either look at you like a bull at a new gate. Or they'll say, yes, I am. I got born again. Jesus changed my whole life. When did you get born again? They'll understand. A true Christian will understand. I don't remember the exact date, but yes, I got saved. I got born again. Jesus transformed my life. And you know it.
That was a great message from Dr. Luana. Tune in tomorrow for the continuation of this sermon.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Luana Stein's. Give online at atouchfromabove.org. Come quickly
to my rescue. You've been listening to Dr. Luana Stein's preaching at A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain. Join us for a Spirit-filled church service every Sunday at the Prayer Mountain, 16145 Highway 67 in Ramona, California, 92065. We are a church without walls at the Prayer Mountain, so bring your Bible, dress warmly, and prepare yourself to grow in the Word. Remember, a church alive is worth a drive. We are a member-supported broadcast, and we need your help to reach the brokenhearted for Jesus. If you've enjoyed today's message, you can give by visiting A Touch From Above.org or by calling 760-315-1967. And along with your generous gift, we will send you a copy of Dr. Luana's book, A Woman Called of God, where she shares how Satan tried to stop the call of God on her life. It's free with your generous donation at atouchfromabove.org. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.
A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain is located in Ramona, California. Dr. Luana dedicated 25 beautiful acres for God's people to pray. Through much prayer, her life was changed. God placed His calling on her life through prayer. God's people from all over the world come and pray at this place. The best thing about our prayer mountain is God's presence is there. Do you need direction? Pray. Do you need help? Pray. Prayer will change your life. AtouchFromAbove.org is our website. AtouchFromAbove.org. Small cabins for private prayer, large cabins to accommodate pastors with their leaders. A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain is for you. Call and make your reservation today, 760-315-1967. Again, 760-315-1967. God bless you.